Good morning, church. Good to see you. Good to be here. Oh, this might be important. Just a second. It's Miss Little. Yes, Miss Little. What's that? Whoa, slow down. Oh, it's doing that thing again. Yeah, the same thing it was doing yesterday and the day before that. Yeah, but it's a crisis. I understand. Yeah, things are bad. I don't think you can blame Biden for everything. Now, no, just. But okay. Listen, it's going to be okay. We're going to pray about it. But I really need to go. Keeping some people here from listening to a good lesson. So I'm going to let you go. All right. Just say goodbye. Everybody say goodbye to Miss Little. That's Miss Chicken Little. And she said, bark, 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 and she said, the sky is falling. If you don't know how to translate chicken talk, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And I hear that so often. And you think about why are things so crazy? What's going on? And you might look at our country and you say, don't you see the inflation? Don't you see the price of gas? Don't you see what's going on? And it seems like we've been here before. And we go to the book of Judges, and I'll just bring that verse up here. At the very end of the book of Judges, it says, men did what was right in their own eyes. And that's going to show up there in a little bit. And there was no king. And you think about that verse and you say, how does that work out? How does that work out with our nation? Just do what you want, what seems good. And that's not really where I want you to focus on, but that's a good starting place. But how well does it work in our family? Just do what you want. There's no king. Or what about in our own lives? When does that ever work? Just do what you want, what feels right, what it seems right in your own eyes. What could be wrong? And that's where I want us to focus today, because when we've tried this, it doesn't work out. What do we need to do? And fortunately, in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, God is preparing his people now to take the victory. The victory hasn't been given to them. They've secured the eastern bank of the Jordan. They're set there at Beth Peor, and God's ready. He's like, it's going to come. The victory's going to come, and he's going to warn them how to, in a sense, win not the war, but how to win the peace. And so let's begin in verse 1 as we're atop of Mount Nebo, where God takes Moses, and he says, look out over the land. This is your inheritance. This is what you're going to do. But chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, that's not, Moses doesn't get to inherit that because he hadn't followed God's command when he said not to, strike the rock. And yet he's showing them, this is what you have led them. You led them here. You led the people through the wilderness. They're now here, but you're not going to be able to receive it. But this is their inheritance. This is their legacy. And so the people are there in the valley of Mount Peor. And in chapter 6, verse 1, it reads, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. So that you may enjoy life. Now, this is to you, to your children, and to your grandchildren. The generations of passing this on to them, it then falls on you to pass that on. And there we go in verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers promised you. Now, in here we can relate, has God promised, made promises to you? Well, in fact, you are the inheritors of a promise made to Abraham and passed on to Isaac and to Jacob. And here they are the inheritors of, and we're inheriting that through Jesus Christ. Now, let's continue in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You know, that would make a pretty good song, wouldn't it? Words are right there. You want to try it? Hear, O Israel. Take in the words, Lord thy God is one God. But even before that, listen. Listen, hear. Open up your ears. Did they need to hear that then? Did they need to be reminded? They've been following God through the desert. They've been following, he's been doing wonderful things for them. And yet he says, I got to pause. I've got to make them listen. The Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. Now let's go ahead and sing that second verse, because Jesus says, and the greatest commandment is what we've looked at, and then the second is likened unto it. Hear, O needed to hear that then, we need to hear it today, don't we? In fact, it sums up the Ten Commandments in so many ways, but let's continue. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about that then when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And let's stop right there. Is it going to be a struggle? God's saying, yeah, it's going to be a struggle for you. You need to work hard on this. What does God give them to use? Well, when you sit up, when you walk, and when you lie down, that's pretty much the whole way, the whole day. God gives you time. My daughter just turned 25, and I thought, I was kind of in shock, and she said, well, wait till she says, when she turns 60, and then see what that feels like. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks. Thank you, church. I appreciate that. Set me straight. Keep my priorities or put things in perspective. But I think about, you know, we did a really good job of documenting things early on, and then life just got faster and faster and faster, and just a blur, and how did we get here? And have you felt that way? And maybe you're the one who has the 60-year-old daughter, or you're the one, maybe your daughter's older than that. And you think, where has time gone? I know that I haven't really gotten any older. I know Cynthia hasn't gotten any older. I don't know how this happened, but God gives us time. And we need to take that time. You think about all the things that we're competing against for their attention, for their time. And let's go to the next slide. And let's break that down. Here's the key that I really want to stress. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today, first of all, they need to be where? Be on your heart. You have to start with me. You have to start with yourself. You need to have this on your heart. And that comes across in different ways. One, memorizing would be good. I thought, hey, let's try that song and see if they know it without the words, without the music. And I bet y'all would have done great, okay? But singing a song from memory or memorizing scripture, it's a great way to do that. But that's not it, right? That's not the whole thing. What does it mean to put it on your heart? That means you live it. It's authentic. You're putting it in practice. There is a scary thing that happens with children. Sometimes you would think it's good, and sometimes it's scary, though, but they said they're going to look like you. And I thought, well, who else were they going to look like? And then this one girl looked at the sonogram before Haley was ever born, and she said, well, she has your nose. And I was like, oh, you couldn't have hurt me more. You picked the one thing. I was like, that was not what I wanted to pass on. And you think about that. If you think about you've played with Play-Doh, and you can mash it all out and get it prepared nice and soft, and you put your hand in it, you make a handprint in that, it's going to look just like your hand. And I said, what if we did that with children? What if we were so good at impressing upon them who we were? What would be wrong with that? That means they just inherited all your shortcomings, all your faults, all your mistakes, your nose, okay? That's not what we want. We want to impress them with what? God's law, His word, His way, following His will. And so here we're given, once we've got it upon our hearts, then we need to impress it on your children. And so we can do what? We can talk about it when you sit at home. So maybe at meals. And so that can come across in a different way. Not every moment needs to be a lecture. What is the best way that kids learn? Well, I'll tell you, I taught each one of my kids how to ride a bike. And lecturing them didn't help. I could explain some of the mechanics of that, and I think when I think about it, though, I said the main thing was, trust me, this whole thing about velocity and the wheel spinning and holding you up, if you can just get going, it'll be a lot more stable there. There were not things that they could understand, and so to help them along, I would start running with them, holding the back of the bike, and that was going great. Until the bike was going downhill a little faster and a little faster. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to make it. Should have taught these kids when I was young, right? And so you get to that point and you're like, I'm either going to stop or I'm going to have to let go. And I'm like, okay, go. And then she continues on. And I haven't taught her anything about braking. I haven't taught her anything about steering. And so it ends in a crash, maybe a little tear. Okay, 6 months later, he said, I'm ready to try it again, Dad. I'm like, oh, that wasn't the lesson, but I couldn't tell her everything. I needed to what? Show her. I needed to show her and let her experience and let her fail sometimes. I hated that I let her fall like that, though. So we impress our kids, impress it on them, talk to them, when we're sitting at home, when you're walking on the road, when you lie down. All those things mean different things to me. And when you get up, let's talk about when you walk along the road. How I use that is road trip, road trip, vacation. We're going to spend time together. And those should be blessed times. Those should be times in which I'm communicating to them, I enjoy spending time with you. You are of value. You are important. Do you remember feeling that way? Being blessed by parents, you said, yeah, I like spending time with you. It's a joy. Now, that could go wrong. We could all get tied up into the stresses of everyday life or something that goes wrong, and we could didn't go the way I wanted it, and I could just be all mad, and I would be teaching them, I would be impressing on them a bad lesson, right? When things go wrong, fall apart. But instead, we try to teach them that things aren't always going to go as planned. Let's be what? Let's be flexible. Let's look for the positive. Let's look and see how God is going to help us out of this mess. Now, that could be as simple as following a map on a trail. You're looking for milestones. You're looking at for certain things. Did we pass that fork in the road? And maybe after a while, they're like, Dad, do you know where you're going? We're like, oh, it's right here on the map. And just coming up ahead. And it helps to reassure them if I can say, okay, we're going to see this or we're going to see that next. And so Dad is kind of getting kind of long. I'm getting kind of tired. I said, oh, it'll be worth it. We're either hiking to a waterfall or we're hiking to the top of a mountain to look out at this great view. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it once we get there. And finally, you get there, and I think they couldn't have gone any farther. They're like, Daddy, carry me. You see it on their face. And there's refreshing, and they enjoy that moment. And maybe you can pass on an encouraging word. Aren't you glad you came? Aren't you glad that we could experience this together? And there's teaching moments all along that way. Perseverance and trusting in God and trusting in the way, having a good guide, knowing what's ahead, but persevering through whatever difficulties. And that lying down, that's like when we put them to bed. Is that a great time to capture their attention? Read a story. Hey, I got a good book. You can get a children's version if they're very young, but read to them. Read to them meaningful stories that will be written on their heart. Don't read them the junk. Read them the good stuff, the encouraging stuff that goes on. Sing them those night-night songs. I don't want to invoke anybody's post-Barney syndrome, but we sang, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, with a great big hug, a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? I think it impressed me more than them. Just to sing that, just to invoke that memory each night. And if you didn't, you better get back up there and do that. And when you get up, rise and shine. Your enthusiasm in the morning. What has God got in store for us today? What adventures are we going to experience? And so all throughout the day, teaching and learning, and you think about, so often we're in competition with the television. We're in competition with our schools. We're in competition with activities. I know when I was watching them as they got one year older, and they're going to be in kindergarten soon, and I'm not going to have the access to them. I wasn't like, phew, good, get rid of them. I'm like, they're going to be in so many activities. I had no idea how many activities they were going to be in, how busy it was. And so I'm glad that we spent a lot of that time ahead of time when I had their attention. And if you're struggling with that, plan some trips. But plan it for them, not for you. Go at their pace. See what they're learning. Have them tell you what is being experienced through that. But even as we go into verse 8, tie them as symbols, these words, these laws. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That gives you permission to put stuff up in house. That gives you permission to give them special lockets or things like that that have symbols or that have have meaning in them that they're carrying around with them all the time that are precious. Maybe it's a ring. Maybe it's a necklace. Maybe it could be all sorts of things. But all of these emphasize this. But I got to emphasize this. They're watching you to see how you live this law, this book. Is God the most important thing? Is His way your way? And they're soaking it up. They're learning that, and they'll surprise you with that. They'll start quoting you from time to time, and you've probably done like I did. Where did you learn that word? And I'm like, whew, good thing I sent them to school, because it's not my fault. I got to look at school. So they picked this up. Who? What? And sometimes they'll say, I learned it from you. I heard you say it. And then that really stings. Let's continue on in the book of Deuteronomy. In verse 10, when the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olives you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Does that sound confusing to you? Because you're like, what? Things could be so good. You could receive so many of God's blessings. You could do such a good job, maybe even raising your kids, giving them everything you think they need, or maybe worse, even everything that they want. And guess what you've done? In a word, we say you spoiled them. They don't appreciate the things that were given. They don't appreciate the work that went into it, what they were brought in. And we're in that same boat. Are we not living in things we didn't build? Are we not inheriting all kinds of things from the past that generations have passed on to? Do we appreciate them? And each generation has to answer that question. And we have to, each generation has the fight to not forget God, to not forget the dependence that we learned on God. Be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And let's continue on. Fear the Lord your God, serve Him only, and take your oaths in His name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. The Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God. And His anger will burn against you, and He will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees He has given. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. Now notice the contrast to Judges, where men did what was right in their own eyes. He says, be sure to do what? Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. Do we struggle with that? Oh, no. No, we got the word, we do it. Do we struggle with that? Given the choice between what's right in our eyes or what's right in God's eyes, so often we say, no, this is going to be more fun. This is going to work out great. So our lesson is to do what is right in the Lord's eye. And how are we going to do that? You got to go back to the Word. You got to be seeking His way. You got to be remembering the lessons of the past. And let's continue on. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before your eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible. Remember the 10 plagues? Upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household, but he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land. He brought us out to do what? Bring us in and give us the land that He promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord your God, so that we might also prosper and be kept alive
as is the case today. And if you were careful to obey all his laws before the Lord your God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness.
So when your son asks, what are you armed with? A story from the Bible, but you can also have your own stories of faith. How have you relied on God? How have you trusted in his way and it worked out? Those are stories that are worthwhile to pass on because they're very relatable. Hey, that's my mom, that's my dad. And in our family, I have a special story about a young lady named Sarah Isabel Turner. And Sarah Isabel Turner was born in 1816. So we're going back over 200 years. And so this story has kept going and being passed down to the family, but also has been documented by biographers and things like that. But what did she do? Just a young woman. And she said she was a member of the Church of Christ up in what we call Overton County in Tennessee or Willow Grove. And she had married a Baptist man, a very distinguished family. And guess what they disagreed on? They didn't see eye to eye. And she would kept saying, but what does God's word say? What does God's word say? And the issue that was at hand was baptism and whether baptism for the remission of sins was part of that. And she would say, but what's the... And he began to listen to her and reason. And with an open mind, he said, you know, she's right. And so he goes back to the church that he was raised in. And he tells them that. He teaches them that. And guess what happens to them? He gets, what do they call it, expunged, or he's put out. He gets his name off the roll. You can't do that. And so a brother of his goes to him, and he says, I'll talk you out of this. I'm going to reason with the scripture with you. We're going to make this right, and you're going to be okay. And they study, and guess what? The brother on the Baptist side says, you're right. The scripture's on your side. And so he goes and he says, I agree with my brother. I believe in it. And they said, well, we're going to kick you out because you believe in faith, repentance, and baptism for the remission of sins. We'll kick you out. And you think, well, this is a terrible story. How is this uplifting? And these guys got kicked out of their own church. Well, four of William's brothers became preachers. And the influence on the region and the area is amazing. And they trace it back to this one lady, Sarah Isabel Turner, making a stand. And all she said was, but what does God's word say? And she held to it. And she reasoned, perhaps very quietly, but very effectively. And it influenced a lot of people. Now, that was Haley and Hope and Hayden's great, 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 great grandmother. So a link of seven generations of doing what? Passing on your faith. Now everyone's got a different story. It may not go back seven generations. I want you to think about, how did you come to faith? And then who taught them? And then who taught them? And so often it's a mother, it's a father working together, passing it on. Passing on that faith baton, and that each generation having to decide, I'm going to make this my faith. I'm going to hold on to that faith. And what a beautiful lesson that it is. What an encouraging lesson it is that other people have struggled with faith. They have struggled with belief. They have struggled with trusting in God, but they overcame. And every time I tell this story, someone will come up and say, you know, we don't have seven generations. We're on our first generation. We're trying to get it right for the first time in our family. And I said, God bless you. Isn't that great? Because you can be that kind of a legacy of passing it on. You can begin, just like in a sense with Sarah Isabel Turner did in her life and with her husband and with her family. And we continue to be blessed by her example. I want to give you an example also as we begin to close. The song that had been written on my heart, and I think I'm going to have to beg you to try to sing along. I don't have the words up here, but I'll sing it. That's not the one we're going to sing, but it's called Pass It On.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm. room up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread the love to everyone.
You want to pass it on. What a wondrous time in spring, when all the trees are budding, the birds begin to sing, the
for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. I'll shout it from the mountaintops. Hey, world, I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. Amen.
What a wonderful blessing to pass on. And that was written on my heart as a young child. And the words still kind of come freely to me. And but that's what we want. And it's not just our children. We want to pass it on to those around us, those who love. I want people to know the joy of following the Lord, of submitting to His will, of trusting in Him and what God can accomplish in our lives if we just follow Him instead of what? The alternative? Let's just do what's right in my eye. And it doesn't work out. It doesn't, and it's just a misery and suffering. And it just, what a wonderful place. If you want to be a part of that blessing, if you want to have prayers as you are encouraging others around you, please come at this time. Or if you need to put on Christ in baptism, this is the time to do that and begin passing it on. Won't you stand as we sing?